share the word of God.
Thank you, Kat. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. What an awesome morning. Oh, I love baptizing people. It's great. Do you love it?
Yeah.
Yeah, good. Right. Now then, every now and again, we take a break from our regular massive series, and at the moment we're going through the Gospel of Matthew to do a smaller site-specific series, and our site-specific series is called The Kingdom is Here, and we are now into our third week. We've got one more Sunday on this before we get back into Matthew's Gospel. And this morning, as we go through this series, The Kingdom is Here, I want to look at kingdom perspective. How do we get our heads around the fact that the kingdom is here? How do we see it in our day to day? This thing that's a little bit difficult to get hold of. Well, I want to start by making a statement about what's just happened. Eddie's baptism is evidence of the kingdom of God right here, right now. Yeah? His astounding testimony, I didn't get to see his testimony beforehand, just a wonderful story of the kingdom of God breaking into his life. But what we're going to do is take a bit of a look at then how that affects how we see the world as well. So I want to start in Romans 6, which is the passage that Kat was kind of referring to as she was explaining what baptism is, and I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation. Got it up on the screen, but I'm going to read it from the Bible itself. Here we go. So Romans 6, verse 3 says, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him, by baptism, into death. So when we put Eddie under the water, we were metaphorically burying him. We were piling the earth on top, the weight of the water. I lifted three urns, full urns of water into there this morning, or three urns were lifted, and they were heavy. There is a weight of water that piles onto you when you go under. In order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." So, we didn't leave Eddie under the water. We raised him up. Hooray. "For if we have been united with him, Jesus, in a death like this, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his." Wow. So Eddie has been born again and can look forward to raising again back to life when Jesus return. So Eddie's baptism is a recognition by physical demonstration of something that has already happened in his life supernaturally. Death to our old self and rebirth as a new creation with a new status. And that status is that Eddie is now a citizen of the kingdom of God. Now, we're preaching this little mini-series because we want us all to understand that if you've given your life to Jesus here this morning, you are part of his kingdom. That is your primary citizenship. Whichever nation you hold a passport for, and whatever part of Coventry or the surrounding area that you live in, you are first and foremost a child of Jesus' kingdom. Amen. Now then, kingdom perspective. Now, perspective is all about how you see things. I went to art college many, many years ago. And when I went to art college, in fact, before I went to art college, you learn to draw in perspective. and you learn to lay something out so that you can create a picture on paper that looks like it's got depth. It's all about how you see things. You put a little point in the distance and then you draw everything disappearing into that point. It's all about how you see things. So, question. How do you see the kingdom of God? Can you see the kingdom of God? As we work through the Gospel of Matthew in our biggest series, we're hearing again and again and again that the kingdom is here. It isn't distant, it isn't a season to come, it's right here, right now. But what is the evidence of this? Jesus said the kingdom of God is near. But the death and resurrection of Jesus that Eddie has actually just reenacted in his baptism left Jesus as king and therefore left Eddie as a child of the king. It's pretty cool, isn't it? Jesus is now fully king. The Apostle Paul, writing to Timothy, describes Jesus as he who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. All rulers submit to him whether they recognize him as king or not. That includes the orange man in America and Mr. Putin in Russia. Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings on earth. And then Jesus, in his ministry, and if we've read in Matthew, demonstrated by miracles the power of his kingdom. So we looked at this just three or four weeks ago. I preached on this. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. News about him spread as far as Syria, and people soon began bringing to him all who were sick. And whatever their sickness or disease, or if they were demon-possessed or epileptic or paralyzed, he healed them all. No more sickness, no more affliction, no more disease. The demons flee, no more neurological disorders, no more physical disability. And then the rest of the New Testament, the whole of the second half of the Bible, is full of stories of Jesus and then Jesus' disciples doing exactly the same thing again and again and again, demonstrating by miracles the power of Jesus' kingdom. And in the last two preachers that Andrew's just done in this series, he was saying, we're not seeing enough of this and we want to see more. And we're going to contend for more. We're going to pray for more. I challenged you last week at the end of the service to ask God to give you the faith to believe for more. It's not something we find within ourselves. We ask him for it. So, Jesus' kingdom has been established. It is fully under his rule and reign. Yet, we don't always live in a way that reflects the supernatural reality of God's kingdom, or the missional call to extend his kingdom to the world around us. I, for one, feel the weight of that. I know how hard it is. It is hard to go into the day-to-day of the lives we lead and the world that we live in and believe everything I've just said and act in the fullness of everything I've just said. So how does the kingdom advance? Well, the first thing to say is not like human kingdoms. And I'm using the word kingdom here. You know, modern kingdoms aren't necessarily kingdoms, are they? The United States of America is not a kingdom. But for the sake of what I want to say, we'll use the similar thing. It's an earthly kingdom. So human kingdoms, when they want to advance, it tends to be driven by something that's become a bit of a buzzword recently, by geopolitics. The politics of geography. And suddenly our world is kind of gripped by this, and we're seeing the outworkings of it all around us. So basically, what happens is a nation gets frightened. A nation becomes full of fear. And that leads to defensive land grabs. So right now, the biggest example of this that we see that is going on around us is Russia and Ukraine. Okay, President Putin and Ukraine. So a bit of a map for you. Here is a map. Here is Ukraine in the middle. There is Russia on the top right. And back down here, the sort of the whitest bit is the Black Sea. Should have covered it black, really, shouldn't I? So the whitest bit is the Black Sea. Now, there is a geographic problem with the Black Sea. There is hardly anywhere that's suitable for a large, sizable port. And you need a port both to for your nation to flourish economically and for defence. You need a port to base your ships and your navy and all that kind of thing. Now, the only place that you can have a sizable port on the Black Sea is Crimea. So what did Russia do with otherwise kind of landlocked in connection with the rest of Europe and the world? What did Russia do in 2014? Annex Crimea. It said, hang on, no, we'll have that. What did Ukraine do? Ukraine wanted to become part of NATO, wanted to join with the West. What did that do? Well, that put massive Western influence between Russia and Crimea in the Black Sea. It meant that their routes to Crimea, which they'd already annexed, could be cut off. So why does Putin want Ukraine? He wants to defend his position. He wants to be able to have a clear route to the Black Sea. That's actually all that it's about. So we have fear leading to a land grab. That's how earthly kingdoms advance. So when Trump stands up and says, I want Greenland, where is Greenland? It's between Russia and America. And why does he want Greenland? It gives him a defensive position, because he's frightened economically and from a defense point of view. So that's how earthly kingdoms advance. Jesus' kingdom is different. Jesus' kingdom does not advance by warfare. Any war that's been fought in the name of Jesus was fought on incorrect ground. It is not how the kingdom of God advances. From the tragedy and of the Crusades to anything else that's been fought in Jesus' name going forwards, wrong. Fought on an incorrect basis. It's not how the kingdom of God advances. Jesus' kingdom is a supernatural kingdom breaking in. It is one world breaking into another. Any sci-fi fans here? Come on, you could admit it. It's like, a bit like, a crack in space and time. It's a little bit like that. It's one world breaking into another. And we see the evidence of that world, of Jesus' kingdom, breaking in as people give their lives to Jesus. Eddie giving his life to Jesus is evidence of the kingdom of God breaking in. You giving your life to Jesus is evidence of the kingdom of God breaking in. We see it as the sick are healed. We see it as the dead are raised. We've been so challenged on that. Do you remember Jim coming last year? Those of you who are regular attenders, Jim coming last year and saying it was normal for the disciples to pray for the raising of the dead and they saw it. We're going to hear stories of that as David T comes next week. We see the kingdom of God breaking in as our needs are miraculously provided for when we pray. We want to become a naturally supernatural people for the kingdom of God breaking in, for the supernatural breaking into our lives to be a normal part of our everyday experience. Because it's evidence of the kingdom of God breaking into this world. We want to have a growing hunger for God to move and greater expectation for him to work through us. So what we need to do as we look at the world around us is to look for evidence of the kingdom of God breaking in. What we tend to do is the opposite. We tend to look at the world around us and say, what a godless place. What we need to do is to change our view of the world, change our starting point. The world is not a godless place. The world is coming under the rule and reign of King Jesus. What we need to do is look for evidence of it where it is already and pray for more. We need to shift our paradigm, if you like, paradigm being our view of the world. We want to live in the reality of the kingdom of God. So, how do you live with Jesus as your king? The battle is to change our perspective, to shift our paradigm, to shift our view of the world, to live on a day-to-day basis in the reality of the kingdom of God, to live with Jesus as your king in his wonderful kingdom. What we see in our own lives, we see the Holy Spirit transforming us, we see him challenging us of sin being dealt with, of patterns being broken. We want to start to see in the world around us. We are often taught that we should live in the fullness of our salvation. We know that each of us is a work in progress, but that by God's mercy and by his grace, we are fully and completely saved by Jesus' victory on the cross. That's what Eddie was declaring just then. We are no longer sinners who need to be saved. We are fully saved children of God who sometimes mess up, who sometimes sin. The more we live in the reality of our new position, the more our individual lives actually match that position. And it's just the same with the kingdom of God. The Holy Spirit doesn't just change us individually, it changes the whole world. Jesus is our actual king, and his kingdom has been established. It is real, and it is now. He is ruling and reigning over the whole of his creation. The transformation of the world has started, but it is a work in progress. Each of you here today, if you are a Christian, is a work in progress that is slowly changing the world around you. Just as the Holy Spirit is bringing about the fullness of Jesus' rule and reign in our lives, he is also bringing about Jesus' rule and reign in all the earth. So the more we're able to live in the reality of our new position, the more our lives will actually match that position. And this is the exciting bit. The more the world will match the reality of that position. Does that make sense? If we're a work in progress, the world is a work in progress. But it starts with us. If you're not a Christian here this morning, my invitation is to give your life to Jesus. He is King. He is Lord. And he can fix your life. If you're questioning meaning, identity, if you're battling with challenge, then Jesus has the answer. Jesus is the answer. And if you are a Christian here this morning, then be filled with the Holy Spirit. Grow in the gifts of the Spirit. Grow in expectation as we see the evidence of the kingdom breaking into the world all around us. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to stop there, and I'm going to ask you to take over. Because what I think we need to hear is some stories. I want to hear some stories of the kingdom of God breaking into your lives, whether it's happened many years ago or whether it's happened recently. Have you experienced healing? Have you experienced being filled with the Holy Spirit? Have you seen it in the lives of friends? Have you prayed for friends and seen real breakthrough? We've been praying for many years for a new job for my wife. And on Friday, she got one. Yes, it's awesome. And if I'm honest, my faith level was not high. And I don't think hers was either, because there have been so many disappointments along the way. But we've prayed and prayed and prayed. Lord God, would you fix this? Would you change things? It's broken through. It's evidence of his kingdom breaking in. So, Father God, I pray that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit right now. I ask that you would give us faith. That you would give us faith beyond what we could ever believe on our own. To believe you for miracles in our own lives and miracles in the lives of those around us. Would you start by giving us faith, Lord Jesus? Would you fill us with your Holy Spirit? Would you pour your Holy Spirit out on us? Would you change our perspective so that when we look out at the world, when we are in the day-to-day of our daily lives, that we would be amazed as we see evidence of your kingdom breaking in. I pray in Jesus' name. Great. I'm going to ask the band to come back, but I'm going to ask you to be brave. Now, we've done a couple of testimony Sundays last year, and there was kind of not enough time to share all the testimonies. But if you have a story, whether it's an old one or a new one, of God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit doing miraculous work in your lives or the life of your friends, I'm going to invite you now to come and share it. The mic's open. After that, we'll worship a bit and we'll pray some more. Does that sound good? Who wants to be first? Who wants to come and share a story? Thank you, Faith.
I was actually wondering whether to share this earlier, and then the time of worship finished, so God had a plan. Some of you have known me for as long as I've had children will know this story already, so bear with me. Luke, my son, is now nearly 19 years old, and 19 years ago I was having some really rather horrible pregnancy complications. Which meant, worst case scenario, I would have died, but kind of would have definitely had to have had an emergency hysterectomy once he'd been delivered by cesarean section. It was all to do with where the placenta was and scar tissue and stuff like that. Anyway, and obviously once you've had a hysterectomy, you can't have any more children. And I really wanted to have more than two children. But long story short, I have three children, obviously, so... But after Luke was delivered safely, and the midwife, who knew a bit of our story, asked John, who is a science teacher, if he wanted to go and see the placenta. And he was like, yeah, sure. And I'm like, well, I want to see it. But I was in theatre. And where I should have hemorrhaged and bled out, and they would have needed to have moved the whole of my uterus, there were just snipped blood vessels. There was no bleeding, there was no hemorrhaging. And I know without a doubt that my God loves me and he loves my children, and he wanted us to have three children. And when the three boys are doing my head in, I can look back on that. I look back on this so often as a sign and as a milestone, like the Israelites used to build cairns, didn't they, in the wilderness where God did something. That is a moment in my life and the life of my family where I know that God stepped in. He literally stepped in and made everything possible.
Amazing. Come on, Pete.
Thank you. So I'm going to share a story, but before I do, there are a few people in the room that I have been challenging to come and share at the front. You know who you are. I'm going to talk for long enough, I'm going to share a miracle story, but I'm also just going to challenge you now. If I've been challenging you to come share at the front, you have a story of how God has moved in your life. I'm really happy to stand here next to you. This is my challenge. I won't be offended if you say no, but I want to tell you a story about a miracle from when I was younger, because we've had a lot of miracles in my life. And we talked about this at small group the other day. We talked about miracles at small group. I could have ran that whole small group with just me talking, and I would have had a lovely evening. But I'm going to share one from when I was younger. So picture 17-year-old me, right? Stunningly handsome, as fit as an ox, right? And I am in Holy Trinity Church in Coventry City Centre, and a friend of mine is sat roughly where Gemma is, and they are crying. And I sat there in the evening, and I thought, God, you said that healing is meant to happen. You said that people can be healed. Someone's over there crying. I want healing. And then I forgot all about it. And I went off and had my next day. And the following day, I was at school. And at the end of the day, a friend asked if we could walk to town together. And as we walked, she told me more about her life. And eventually, she asked if we could sit down and talk somewhere. And we sat down and talked somewhere. And after building up some courage, she told me that she'd been suffering from anorexia for about 2 years. And she got down to eating about 300 calories per day, which, for those that know, is not very many. Her parents knew, she knew it was bad. And I did that thing where I'm like, well, that's great, I'll talk you out of it. But it pretty quickly dawned on me that I just needed to pray. And we sat in a subway, surrounded by, you know, free refills, and we prayed. And we prayed for healing. And then we went, and she bought a bread roll. And I was like, hey, let's buy a Snickers bar. But she was like, she bought a bread roll, and that was the first thing that she'd eaten that she hadn't counted the calories of for 2 years. And then she went home, and she told her parents, and it was just done. And the anorexia was just gone.
Wow.
And, you know, I spoke to people, I was a kid, I didn't know any better. I was like, that's just how it works. And I spoke to people afterwards, and they were like, no, anorexia doesn't just go, right? You have years of therapy. But it was just gone. And literally, I said goodbye to her, and she left, and she went to catch her bus and go home, and then God was like, eh? And it all came back to me that the previous day I had prayed, I want to heal somebody. Now, again, I could hog this mic for hours, and I could talk, but that was one of my miracle stories. I've got miracle stories from last week. I've got miracle stories from last month, from last year. But I just want to open up that challenge again. There are people in this room, you know who you are. I would love for you to share. I'm happy to stand with you. No pressure, but I'd love you to share.
Thank you, Karis.
It's actually quite funny that we're talking about the kingdom of God breaking in. Because this week my flat got broken into. and it was quite a shock to both me and my flatmate. And at first we thought that actually quite a few things had been taken, specifically for me, my passports. And I have been hoping to go abroad after I finish my degree. I've been planning many trips. So for me, I was like, I cannot lose these passports. I have two, and I thought both of them were gone. And we couldn't find them anywhere, and I was in tears. And so my flatmate and I were like, we're just going to pray, and we're just going to thank God for keeping both of us safe. Because miraculously, we were both safe, and, you know, everything was fine. But then the amazing thing was that we just prayed. Then I prayed with my dad as well, and we actually didn't pray for the stuff to be found. We just prayed for the whole situation and for peace and that sort of thing. But God already knows our heart's desires. He knows what we long for before we even ask him for it. And just that cry in my heart, I was just like, I want my passports back. And then just after we prayed, the police who were doing forensics in both of our rooms of all the stuff that had been checked around were like, are these your passports? And both of them had turned up, and I actually, in that break-in, lost nothing. And everything that I thought had gone miraculously turned up. And it's just incredible to see how God knows what we need even before we ask for it, and knows our heart's desires and protects us. So even when a break-in happens, the kingdom of God can still break through. So, yeah.
That's awesome. Thank you. Right. Anybody else? We have time for more. Thank you, Steve.
I'm just trying to decide which story to tell about.
Love that.
You know, have you heard of Encounter Camp?
Yeah.
Encounter Camp. I've been involved in it for ages. So one of them, a couple of years ago, we were having meetings in like a big, you know, one of these big tent things, and I was doing some workshops about the Holy Spirit and stuff like that. And there was a guy, in case you don't know, the people who come to Encounter Camp are people with life-controlling issues. So they're people with drug addiction problems, alcoholism, street sleepers, you know, people right on the fringes of society. And I tell you what, the kingdom of God really breaks in with that sort of a person, somebody who's really, really needy. So I was doing some workshops on the Holy Spirit type stuff and breaking free. And I just started, and there was a guy who was, he was like a young guy, he was about 20, 21, and he was like really hyperactive. But as soon as I started talking about the Holy Spirit, he started screaming and running around. And eventually, he ran out of the tent. And what happened is every time we had a meeting, and it felt like we started talking about God, or the Holy Spirit started moving, this guy went absolutely ballistic. So a couple of times I went out and talked to him and calmed him down and stuff like that. But he was just, you know, the whole thing was really crazy. It was really hard to contain. Basically, cut a long story short, over the week, and it's an incredible week, every year at Encounter, over the week, people talked to him, prayed for him, laid hands on him, and he just calmed down and calmed down. And by the end of the week, he stood up and gave a testimony that for the first time in his life, he'd found peace. And this guy, you know, he was a scary guy, actually, when we first met him. And what he said was that he'd been haunted for years by a hatred towards his father. There's a whole abusive story, you know, massive, really horrible abuse sort of thing there. And he'd been haunted by that whole of his life, and it sort of tortured him, and he had this anger that completely overwhelmed him. By the end of the week, with God breaking into his life, he said he'd found peace. And incredibly, he'd been able to forgive his father. Mm. And that's where the peace came. And he was saying he knew Jesus. This guy was transformed. And like the final meetings that we had there, he was there worshipping God, hands raised, you know, incredible testimony. And I can give you a lot of stories like that. I can tell you stories about people with schizophrenia who have been healed and stuff like that. Wow. So anyway, that's one of the stories.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Come on. Got time for one more, because I want to worship. Go for it, Cavan. Great.
This is a true miracle that happened recently. As a few faces that I've seen, I've been coming here recently with my son and my kids. The last 2 weeks we haven't been here because he caught ill, and I kind of lost faith a little bit. I've lost a son previously through death when I was young, so having this little boy has been not the best thing that I could have asked for. And he basically went into a septic shock, and his body shut down. And he got put into intensive care. I didn't lose my faith. I put a picture of him when he was in hospital, and I said on the picture, with all my might, I prayed, I cried, and I asked in Jesus' name for him to come back stronger. And here he is in my arms. This only just happened. Just like 2 weeks ago, he was in intensive care, and now he's just as healthy, as strong as he ever was. And that's in Jesus' name. So thank you.
That's awesome, mate. Thank you. Thank you so much. That's pretty cool. Right, James, let's worship. That's great.